You didn't think you were the only magical girl in town, did you? The name's Agatha Harkness. Lovely to finally meet you, dear.
Hello and welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities from Marvel Comics to their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey
and Di.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, Jeff.
We're here.
You know what? I was sick all last week. I had like a common cold, and I still have remnants of like a sinus infection, I think.
Okay.
So like, I'm just going to tackle that at the top, just in case my voice starts to get a little weird along the way.
It's okay. Your voice is feeling a little congested.
Yeah.
I'm delirious. So.
that's a constant for me, so let's go.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, welcome back. I guess we'll just dive into the latest news. Sad news first. First and foremost, trying to get it out of the way. But in the Marvel Universe, unfortunately, Greg Hildebrandt of the Brothers Hildebrandt passed away on Halloween, October 31st. And so Greg and Tim Hildebrandt, growing up, trading card icons. Mm. They used to paint sets at a time. And so he and his brother are both officially gone from this world. Greg, I actually was able to meet him at a convention, I think pre-pandemic, maybe 2019, mm-hmm. at New York Comic Con at a small tiny table. And he was just so nice. And they made an impact on the comic book world and many artists to date, like my pal Ben Harvey. And so... yeah, definitely a big loss there. And additionally, another loss that we had, unfortunately, in just the last week, Tony Todd, horror icon and the voice of Venom in Insomniac Spider-Man 2, has also passed away as of November 6th. So it's like, dang!
Man, I know.
I know. I hate this kind of season. It's like, we're getting to that age where we're starting to see some of these icons, you know, unfortunately pass away. And so thanks to those amazing folks for everything they gave us fans. In more positive news, D23 Brazil took place last weekend. And oh my goodness, did Marvel Studios bring some stuff. So they shared new footage of Captain America 4, first and foremost, as well as Thunderbolts. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Feige, along with David Harbour, Anthony Mackie, and Danny Ramirez, as well as Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio.
They're going everywhere.
The yeah, they're literally everywhere.
I know, those Daredevil brothers.
They're ready.
I know.
They're ready. Well, because like it makes a lot of sense, right? Like the fact that Thunderbolts is already kind of coming on board is interesting because Daredevil comes before it. Mm-hmm. So it is nice to see that Charlie and Vincent are coming along for the ride and showing us all the good stuff. Because, man, it's already the end of November.
I know. Oh, my God.
2024 is melting away. So, we're ready for this new year and all the good stuff. Was there anything in particular that you were, like, super hyped over? Or did it just kind of...
Yeah, the new... the new footage for both Thunderbolts and Cap. Incredible. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's definitely keeping me on a nice rolling boil. I'm still super hyped as ever. But I've officially hit my threshold with both Captain America and Thunderbolts. Cannot watch anything else.
Okay.
Refuse.
That's valid.
It's a lot.
That's fair.
The Thunderbolts one, especially.
It was long.
This is long.
It was 3 minutes. It was over 3 minutes, I think.
I know it's not his entire, you know, like appearance in the film, but that felt like a lot of Bucky Barnes. And I'm like, mm-hmm. he better be in most of that movie. Because if that was half of it, I'm going to be really upset. But it looks amazing. So that's kind of awesome. I'm really glad that they showed that stuff. Ready for more. Just not going to watch it. So you're going to have to take the bullet for both of us, buddy. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, before we get into this episode, as we know, Marvel recently confirmed the return and final season of What If... with season 3 debuting December 22nd on Disney Plus. But among the characters announced was the one and only Storm.
Wielding.
Who has Oh, yes. Also, wielding Mjolnir, which I believe is an actual story from the comic.
That's makes sick. Sense.
Yeah. Rogue also did in the comic.
Oh, wow.
What If, yeah. But Storm makes 100% sense. And so for everybody who paid attention, Allison Seeley Smith, the iconic Storm from the animated series of X-Men 92 and 97, returns in this iconic role.
That's sick.
So, man, that's going to be the most watched episode, hands yeah. down. I already know it. So amazing. I love it. So, yeah, that's rolling around in about a month. And Rocket Raccoon is sticking his head inside of Jeff's bag. This is amazing. Oh, my God. This is the good stuff that nobody can see. So with all that said, if you're ready, Jeff, let's go. We're going to get into this episode.
Let's do it.
Just a reminder, we're not experts and we do not claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out. And in this episode, we're going to nerd out all about Agatha Harkness.
Agatha.
So, these are a couple of names that we haven't heard in a long time, but Agatha was created by, if you can believe it, Stan Lee and Jack King Kirby.
Wow.
Which is really, it really identifies what time frame this character comes from. And so, I'm sure this is going to come as a gigantic surprise to you, Jeff, but her first appearance was in The Fantastic Four, number 94.
Wow.
January 1970.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 1994.
No.
That would have been crazy.
1970. So the first family is barely 10 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And she has made her debut in the Marvel Universe.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. With a comic titled The Return of the Frightful Four.
Okay.
And so
is this like Halloween themed in a way?
Or no, it's January.
This is January, yeah.
Yeah, it's the turn of the new year. So here's the cover for you.
Very okay.
interesting. You got the fam. You got what appears to be Medusa and three other villains that we'll talk about. And a very, very ominous looking house in the background.
Uh-huh.
That suspiciously looks like the Psycho House.
Yeah, it does actually.
And so it very interesting issue. Before we get into it too far, do you want to go ahead and guess the cover price of
1970s,
this?
Huh?
1970.
Is it a special?
Nope, it's a normal issue. And it is again 1970, less than 10 years in.
Less than 10 years in. Well, man, I can't even like grasp anymore. Like
for context,
yeah,
everything started at about a dime,
yeah,
or 12 cents.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna go a dime plus a nickel.
15?
Yeah.
Buddy. 15.
Yes. We are so back, ladies and gentlemen.
So back. So in its heyday, in its original form, you could get this issue for 15 cents
yep.
off the shelf. And now, however, different story. The highest graded I found on Shortboxed was a CGC 9.6, currently listed at a cool $4,500. And a 9.4 is going for $659. So there's another example
Jeez.
Of 0.2 difference being almost like 10% of the initial cost or asking price. Whereas on eBay, a CGC 9.6 signature series signed by Stan Lee ended at $1,200. And there was otherwise a regular version of 9.6 going for $6,000 as well.
What
so
the
people
hell?
Are really playing ball. They're yeah. playing the hype game. They're like, ooh, Agatha? Gonna put it up and see if I can pay off a credit card. You know what I mean? While other people are just putting it up and seeing what happens. And then for lowest graded, Shortboxed had a CGC 4.0 listed for $100. And eBay had a CBCS, which is not generally the more preferred grading system, but they had a CBCS 2.5 for $100 as well. So, again, if you got a couple $100 you want
sure.
to spare, you know, you just want to go ahead and buy this issue, you can get it. And fair market value is about $400 to $600.
Oh, wow.
Or you could get it just off the shelf, $100. So you're just like, okay, first appearance, cool, $100. And it's also pretty neat because it is a piece of Fantastic Four history.
That's true. Yeah. That's what a, like, a crossover.
And we're going to get into it. It's kind of a mind bender because, you know, we mentioned in the last episode, recapping season one altogether, that, you know, neither one of us know this character off screen at all.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Honestly, I really had no idea, aside the modern version. But as far as her historical, oh, yeah, I had no clue. No clue. So this was an amazing learning experience for me. So, I mean, speaking of, could you embellish on your first exposure of this character?
I mean, WandaVision.
Yeah, right.
As per most people, probably, I would assume.
I think so. I think I would go as far as to say 80%, maybe 85%, maybe even 90%.
Yeah.
First time. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, me... I was already familiar with her from the comics because of the Scarlet Witch solo run.
Okay.
But even that wasn't that long ago. It was like 2016 or something.
Oh, wow.
So very, yeah, very new to me, at least in terms of how long I've been into comics. And so, speaking of, I don't believe Agatha has a trading card, or if she does, it's only as of these last 4 years. And so I do not have one. I could not find one. But I found something from a guide in 2013. And so this is the bio for Agatha that they had written down as far as that's concerned. And it states, a powerful witch with an impressive library of skills, Agatha is one of the mightiest magicians on Earth. Her feline familiar is Ebony, a demonic cat with the power to grow and turn into a black-furred demon.
That sounds scary.
It makes for a good horror film, I'm sure. And so, for your reference, this is her first actual panel.
Oh, man.
Like, probably nothing you're even remotely familiar with.
It reminds me of the old lady in the show, in the Agatha show, Patty LuPone's Lilia's mom.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so... this is Agatha, and then that's Ebony, and it's a very almost, again, a psycho-looking scenario of an old gray-haired lady and her pet feline. But we'll get into it as we go along here. And so, you know, as far as Agatha goes, this issue of Fantastic Four, it opens up, you're kind of tossed in, even if you've been following with the story, it's... the family is rejoicing over the new baby. And so Crystal is also there. She has temporarily become a member of the Fantastic Four. So they're technically Fantastic Five. But she's there instead of with the Inhumans. And so I believe this is around the time that maybe she and Johnny Storm were kind of having a fling. Or
he
was into her. Yeah, I'm not sure. But... you know, the family are fawning over Sue and Reed's baby, who is Franklin B. Richards, who, by the way, was born 2 years ago before this issue. They just had never had a name for him. So they were just calling it the baby for 2 years. And so they finally present, okay, this issue. They're like, oh, you know, baby Franklin, and the B stands for Ben because of Ben Grimm, and they start talking about this. And so the family starts saying, you know, they're talking about like, oh, how are we going to go on our missions if we have this child? And so, you know, amidst them fawning over the baby, they realize, like, they have this discussion of like, oh, well, we have an idea to leave the child with someone that can be trusted. And so there is discussion of this, of leaving Franklin with a quote-unquote child-rearing specialist who lives upstate. And so you get the idea that the specialist is world-famous for her childcare prior to her retirement. And so she's going to make this exception to take care of this one child, because why wouldn't she? So she's coming out of retirement just for the Fantastic Four. And so you don't get any idea whatsoever that there is even the smidge of selfish reasoning until you see who it is. And it's then, when they arrive at the house, they're like, oh, this is not what we expected.
Yeah.
And so, but yet, in true, purely naivete, early 70s form, they're like, this is fine. And so Agatha's eerie house resides on this tip top of Whisper Hill, a place called Whisper Hill. And so I believe it is a real place in New York, by the way. But they call it like Whisper Hill Place or something. I don't know. And so anyway, in the comic, the family came with the intent of just leaving the child and then going on the mission. But it's stormy out, and Agatha's like, you know, it's too late for you to leave now. You might as well stay here.
Uh-huh.
So she opens up her home to them. Johnny and Ben are in one room. Sue and Reed are in another room. And then Crystal is out and about. I don't even know if she's even there at this point. She might have stayed behind. And so Agatha takes the child and things start to go weird.
Of course.
Of course. And so shenanigans begin when Ben is in he and Johnny's room. He's, you know, feeling stuff and touching stuff because it's all very ancient looking, very dusty and, you know, as haunted house as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls through the wall and there's like a secret panel that opens up into this new part of the building that is very dilapidated but also very mysterious. And so, you know, it's very comical because when you're reading it, for me especially, I hear Ben Grimm's voice, which is very iconic in its own right. And so he's like, oh, what in the... Oh, there, the wall just broke through. And then, like, you know, it's like... And he and Johnny start to get really, you know, curious about this secret pathway in the house. And so it's then that they're approached by two of the four Frightful Four, who are the Wizard and Sandman. So
whoa,
yes, that Sandman. And so this right here, referring back to the cover for you, Jeff, this right here is the Wizard. The guy with the big head is the Wizard, and this is the Sandman. So Sandman had a suit for a short period of time that was like a supervillain suit, and it was all green.
Huh.
Yeah, very, very not traditional as in Spider-Man look. But yeah, so they approach Ben in these corridors, and they essentially share that they've come together to get revenge on the Fantastic Four with their surprising cohort, Medusa. So they've taken Medusa along for the ride, and she's completing the four, right? As well as Trapster, a villain called Trapster.
Okay.
And they have concocted this plan to ambush the Fantastic Four in Agatha's home for some reason. Nothing makes sense. They're just like, okay, they followed them to the home, and then they have opened up this secret corridor. So it's all coming together. And so Agatha, at first, was presented as this haggard, unsuspecting old woman, but it's clear that when things shake up, there's more to her than anyone realizes. And so when she realizes that the Frightful Four are in her house, she begins to cast spells and hallucinations on them.
Of course.
And her cat Ebony also transforms into this formidable black beast. Oh, and starts
like what kind of beast are we talking like, about?
Very demonic. It's like a giant demonic, like it's almost like a giant Black Panther, but like a demon version of it. Yeah.
Okay.
And so
okay.
It starts stalking the Frightful Four. And so the Fantastic Four have no idea. Get it? Fantastic and frightful. Fantastic.
So I'm saying, how is this not a Halloween issue? I don't get it.
I don't know. Maybe it was supposed to be and it just got away from them. But so the Fantastic Four have no idea that Agatha is even doing anything to protect them. They're uh-huh. just like, Sue and Reed are stuck in their room, quite literally stuck in their room. They're useless. They can't get out. And Ben and Johnny are fighting these adversaries. And then with Agatha's help,
mm-hmm.
even though they don't realize she's helping, she's casting all these spells and doing this witchcraft. And so all these things, of course, occur when she's not actually present among the family. And so when all the dust settles, they go looking for Agatha and the baby, like, oh gosh, we survived the Frightful Four, but where's the baby?
Yeah.
Oh God, where's the baby?
Of course.
And so they run off and they find her in a room and she's just in, you know, calmly and peacefully in a rocking chair doing her knitting, and the baby is sound asleep and the cat is just laying there very quietly like nothing ever happened. And so just before the family retreats back to their rooms to sleep, Ben notices a book among Agatha's belongings titled Tales of Old Salem.
Oh, gosh.
Which he gets his gears grinding. So he's like, all these thought bubbles, he's like, yeah, Susie and Reed wouldn't leave the baby with a witch, would they?
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. Wait, if it's good for us, then great. But they wouldn't. And then Agatha kind of gets the idea that he's putting it together.
Yeah.
And she's like, is there something wrong, Mr. Grimm? And he's like, oh, no, no, nothing, nothing wrong. Nothing, no, just cool. And
it's so, clobbering time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which he does say before they fight Frightful Four,
that's
of course.
That's hilarious.
Because he says it in every issue. And so, you know, Agatha essentially leaves the big tough guy spooked, and that's the end of the issue. And
wow.
So it's just this like kooky little Scooby-Doo sort of like issue of theirs that they just never knew that she had powers until a little bit later. And so it isn't until subsequent issues that you get to know a little bit more about Agatha, but it's always in Fantastic Four.
Mm.
And so they get so close over the years and over issues that they refer to her as Auntie Aggie. Like, Franklin gets a little older and she becomes his nanny and she's like, aunt, and he's like, Auntie Aggie, like, I want help. And then they call her Aggie.
You telling this backstory, I'm like, oh my God. Like, what if she just randomly pops up in the Fantastic Four movie?
That's what I was thinking when I was reading it. I was like, oh, what if, which is, by the way, filming for 2 more weeks. They finish in 2 weeks, but I mean, that would be,
that's true, yeah.
That'd be interesting.
That would be, yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a reach, but to know that she has that much, like, backstory with them in her origin.
Oh, yeah, or like maybe like she just pops up and is just like, yeah, like what if like Reed and Sue have a kid and they're just like, they have to go on this thing and they're just like we can't be, someone has to watch our kid. Call Aunt Aggie.
What if Franklin is the child that Agatha bit?
Oh, that's right.
She says it twice and it's not Billy or Tommy. She says it to Billy, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
when
no,
he's
man.
Little. Yeah.
It's funny.
So wild. So of course, on the other side of the spectrum, speaking of, we have Agatha Harkness, portrayed by Katherine Hahn, who was first seen in 2021's WandaVision, created by Jack Schaefer, last seen in 2024's Agatha All Along, also created by Jack Schaefer. So,
GOAT!
Yeah, tell me about it. I was like, wow, she's really climbing up the charts here, because now she has three really monumental, not only amazing stories, but female-driven stories under her belt. Those two, as well as Black Widow. So it's like, oh, man, if Yelena ever gets her own thing, I am willing to bet Jack will be behind it, because, hot damn, she's good. But so
people are saying give her the Scarlet Witch solo.
Yes, I agree, actually. I would definitely vouch for that. So it seems that as far as the MCU version of Agatha goes, they have completely, or at least mostly, forgone Agatha's origin, though she did play a babysitter in WandaVision. So they kind of got that going.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, actually, that's kind of funny looking back on it. It's especially in the 70s episode when she's in the aerobics outfits.
Yeah.
And she's taking care of the babies.
Yeah.
And just being kind of kooky all over the place. And of course, you know, Catherine's version absolutely embodies the mischievousness of Agatha's character. Her Agatha, or originating from the Salem era of witch history, and was set to burn at the stake by her own coven due to her practice of dark magic and what we now know as the Darkhold. So very interesting that they kind of went headfirst into the witch Salem trial stuff with MCU Agatha, and they kind of, in the comic book, as we go along, it took them a minute.
Yeah.
It took them a minute to really embrace. I don't know if it was like a thing of the 70s, because this is at the turn of the century where it started to get more hippies and...
Sure.
And Helter Skelter started to creep in. So it could have been that. I did notice that originally, early on in the issues, they did not use the pentagram. But they did at one point, and I was like, whoa, that's ballsy.
Very.
It is ballsy for a comic book in the 70s. And so Yeah, I think eventually they came around to it, but with the MCU version, yeah, they just kind of went, yep, no, she's a witch. And so, and of course, you know, it goes without saying, you know, prior to all of the present tense of Catherine Hahn's Agatha, she also had a son named Nicholas Scratch and a sketchy history with the entity known as Death, who we'll talk about later. And then, of course, historically known for absorbing the powers of other witches, which led her to harnessing the power of the Scarlet Witch in WandaVision. And so it is interesting when you think about it that the timeline, because you know how MCU has jumped ahead. So yes. WandaVision presumably takes place in 2023. Multiverse of Madness takes place in spring of 2025. And then
in
MCU timeline. And then Agatha All Along takes place in October 2026.
Got it.
So 2 years from now is the occurrences that we just watched, which is interesting. I'm just wondering what they're actually going to catch up with.
Yeah.
Or is that just what they want to do is just keep going?
It's
ahead. It's ahead. So that's interesting. And so we discussed both Agatha and her series at large in the previous episode, so please go back and listen to that if you'd like more. But for now, yeah, any thoughts on Agatha, or at least Catherine Hahn's Agatha, before we get into it?
Well, like we said, we talked about the show in its entirety. So as of right now, Agatha Harkness is dead.
Yes. And clip that you cut from our mini-Marvel is so funny in retrospect.
And I said that we have only seen the first two episodes.
Yeah.
And I was making a friggin' joke. I was just like, yeah, everyone dies.
And
I was like, oh, crap, three out of the four did.
Yeah, exactly.
Three out of the five did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, which is so wild. But you finally got it right. I mean, well, actually, you kind of are right almost every time when everybody dies. But yeah.
Yeah, Bucky's going to die. I just saw...
I have a feeling he will.
I just wanted to see what Dai was going to say. What was my prediction that one time? I was like, oh, was it Bucky's going to die in Yelena's arms?
Yes, because he's going to save her or something. And then in the Thunderbolts like clip, he's like saving people with his arm.
Yeah.
And then Yelena's like, and I'm like, no.
Like you're gonna get your widow soldier moment. It's gonna last for approximately 5 minutes.
Which, by the way, not to segue off into Buckyland yet again, but Sebastian Stan was at a convention in Liverpool.
Yes.
When all this stuff was going down with D23, and so he had mentioned that somebody was like, "Oh, what projects would you like to see happen in the MCU?" And he was like, I'd like to see more of Bucky and Steve's relationship, like a prequel.
Yeah.
And then another prequel about Winter Widow. And I was like, stop it. Just stop. Just stop.
He knows.
He knows. That bastard.
He was like, imagine he's just like, not to go too much on a tangent again. What if he's just like... He's like, oh, I would love to work with Flo again.
I know. It's like hamming it up and then... At the end of Thunderbolts, he dies. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
What a poetic way to go down, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, so Agatha is dead now in the MCU.
And they ended it saying, basically, she's going to help Billy try to find Tommy wherever his soul is and what body.
Right, right.
Which kind of gives the intention of like, okay, like they want to do another season.
And that's the question.
And Feige has come out to say like they want to do more like sequel seasons, like season twos of
Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, which I'm like,
all the other ones, yeah.
Go for it, dude. I think we did say this in our Agatha All Along episode, is that I wouldn't mind a season two at all. I also wouldn't mind kind of like a spinoff of another mini series of some sort.
Sure. Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be so super linear that I would only want Agatha All Along part two. Like, no, it could be like a Wiccan series, or it can be a The Witch's Coven, whatever it is. I would love to see that and see more Agatha and see where she goes along. So a quick pop quiz before we continue on here, Jeff.
Oh, God.
It's an easy one. I think you'll get this one pretty easy, actually. So short and sweet. What was Agatha's alias while in Westview?
Oh, Agnes.
Full name.
Ah! No! No!
Yeah, it's the last name that's like, oh, wait.
Agnes. Hallelujah. Wait, what was it? Hey, honey, my name is...
And
what?
She says it in the first episode.
I know.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm trying to do it in her 50s, like... vernacular.
He's moving. He's shifting his shoulders.
You're such a doll.
You gotta fix your hair.
You're so. Every time I try to do that kind of voice, I go to like a Jennifer Coolidge voice.
Because <That's fair.
laughs> because recently I've been doing this a lot. I've been being like oh gosh, I could really use a hot dog.
You sound exactly like her.
Hey, honey.
Oh, my God. I would love to see her as a witch now. Actually, that'd be amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Flash Rocket is staring at Jeff. Like,
Agnes. Agnes, what? See, I can't get this, but I can get Ike Harris.
You for can get Icarus. Ike Harris, but not
oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I could really use a hot dog real bad. Oh, man. Agnes, what? Rocket, what is it? Agnes, huff and a puff and I blow your house down? I agree. Agnes.
O'Connor.
That's what she...
Agnes O'Connor.
O'Connor, that's no fun.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Irish.
I was thinking it'd be like... Yeah. Or like, I don't know. Agnes... Hallelujah. I don't know.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Scarlet Witch Agnes is here, O'Connor. Ladies and gentlemen.
Agnes O'Connor. So that was her name.
I got half a point.
You get 100 points because you did so quickly. I was like, you know, he's going to get this. Ding, ding, ding. So moving on from that aesthetic. So if you see in our handy dandy doc, Jeff, oh my goodness gracious. It's pretty evident that the creator stuck with the same color palette when it comes to Agatha's garb. Oh, I did it to myself.
Wow.
Much thanks to the WandaVision costume designers, Maya C. Rubio, Virginia Burton, and Marcella Elisa Caudill. You can see from the comic book to MCU, they've stuck with that same trio of colors, black, purple, blue, but they've inverted stuff to kind of make it more compelling. In the comics, Agatha traditionally wears purple for her gown and has a blue shawl, but they've given Agatha in MCU a blue gown with a purple shawl, which makes a lot of sense, and it kind of evolved with Agatha all along.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, like, I believe a purple skirt, and then she has the white top and the blue blazer. And the primary costume design was led by Daniel Ceylon, or Ceylon. It's really cool. I like that they've stuck with how she does look, even if she's quote-unquote younger, which we'll talk about in just in a second. But not too long ago, though, maybe around the time that WandaVision even premiered, there was this discourse surrounding Agatha's youthful appearance in comics now. So for a very, 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 and I'm talking about very long time, from 1970 until 2016, I believe, or 20, maybe 2020 even.
Oh my gosh.
She was this old woman version. And so until very recently, Agatha is now this middle picture that I have on the dock here where she is kind of resembling a little bit more of Catherine Hahn.
Yeah.
And that she looks like she's the same age as Wanda. And so she's been de-aged in the comics essentially and in a post-Catherine Hahn world. And so we see that they've kind of done this thing that we see from movies to comics that have such an impact on the character that they then actually change them canonically to match the MCU counterpart. And so this is definitely true when it comes to Agatha. And so in the books, after death, Agatha returned in a spirit form, like on the show, She did die in the comics, came back as a ghost.
Wow.
And Agatha is very much present in Wanda's world, and we'll talk about their dynamic later in the show, but she is essentially there. She's still tutoring Wanda even from beyond the grave. And so when Wanda goes to journey the Witch's Road, Agatha comes with her and they encounter Wanda's mother.
Whoa.
And so it's a story that's definitely worth checking out. But after that, Agatha then took part in this battle in the Dominion of Corrosion, a dominion of another witch previously named Corina. And so I just read this one not too long ago, and it's very interesting. After the two, they're both witches, obviously, they're fighting. After Agatha, she's essentially stabbed this girl in the neck, and she's like, oh, all this power, and it's going to go to waste unless somebody else takes it. And so she's starting to lean into, I'm going to take your power. So she decides to get rid of this witch. The power explodes. Everything in that immediate area, they both disappear. And then you get the sense of, oh, did Agatha die? And it's like, no, actually, the power was so powerful, she got blasted into a body, her body, whatever, and she came back younger than ever. And so that's why there's a new revision of her look, that she just became so powerful she was able to de-age.
Oh my God.
It's a little complicated, but I mean, if they're gonna bring her back younger, I mean,
yeah.
There's one way to do it, I guess. And so she kind of went into hiding until she felt it right to reemerge and be like, hi, everybody. Agatha here. And then she's back. And
yeah.
Yeah. And so she's more powerful than ever. And speaking of powers, as for powers and paraphernalia, so like no brainer, she's got witchcraft. Everything is witchcraft with her. She's not a mutant or anything. She's not superhuman. She is simply
a gifted witch.
Yes, is a witch. And so that includes and is not limited to spells and phrases that empower her with binding, dimensional manipulation, energy projection, elemental control with aerokinesis, electrokinesis, hydrokinesis, and pyrokinesis. Basically, she can control all the elements. Storm. As well as experience manipulation, flight, force field, fusionism, illusion casting, advanced longevity. That goes for the young thing. Magical awareness, magic negation, magic reflection, mystical invulnerability, purification, scrying, sealing, soul manipulation, telekinesis, telepathy, teleportation, transmutation, voice manipulations, and witch sight.
Dude, all these comic heroes just have like...
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah. In the pot. Cool? In the pot. Sounds good? In the pot. And so she's got all that stuff. And then, as we mentioned above, she also has a feline familiar by the name of Ebony in the comics, a black cat with extra dimensional powers. So this cat, this literal cat, can do things. And so I think they decided to not bring the cat in because it's very Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty much her. So it's like, okay, maybe they forgot that. Instead, they did. And so I think instead... they brought in Miss Senora Scratchy, which who we'll talk about shortly. But as far as powers for the MCU, Agatha goes magic. So perhaps not witchcraft.
With a K.
Magic with a K. Yeah, exactly. And they do that in the comics.
What is that? What is that?
It's
is there
just
a
the
reason?
Formal
Got
old
it.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an old time version of the spelling. And so through witchcraft, Agatha is powered with magical energy, manipulation, projection, and detection, as well as telekinesis and levitation, plus mental manipulation, aka mind control, psychic shield, spell casting and power binding, transmutation, conjuration, enchantment, teleportation. That's a song.
What? That is.
That's a song.
That's a Wizards of Waverly Place jingle right there.
Agatha also possesses the ability to harness necromancy and dark magic, the latter empowering her with longevity, power absorption, and physical augmentation. And so while Agatha does not have Ebony in the MCU, she indeed has Senor Scratchy, portrayed by Peanut Butter the Bunny.
Mr. Scratchy.
And so fun fact, Senor Scratchy essentially means Mr. Scratch. in general terminology and via Wikipedia, quote unquote, Old Scratch or Mr. Scratch is a nickname or pseudonym for the devil.
Of course it does.
The name likely comes from Middle English Skrat, the name of a demon or goblin derived from Old Norse Skrat. And it's the oldest, its oldest documented usage of in literature is 1824.
Huh.
So we're getting some breadcrumbs as far as the scratch side of things goes. And so before we depart into the friends and all that other good stuff, I wanted to talk about the Darkhold very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we discussed the Darkhold in episode 20, Doctor Strange. And so the Darkhold is also known as the Book of Sins, the Book of Spells, or the Book of the Damned in the MCU. And it's an ancient book of spells and unspeakable power made of dark matter from the Hell Dimension.
Mm.
So in the comics, however, the Darkhold is referred to as the Kython Scrolls, the Shi'atra Book of the Damned, or the Book of Sins, and according to events as recent as 2022, the original Darkhold is currently fused with the Scarlet Witch in the comics.
In the comics.
In the comics.
I feel like that's like where it's going in the MCU.
Right, exactly.
Because she destroyed it along with her.
Right.
But maybe she's not dead and she just infused herself.
Jeffrey's hope for her return is shining.
Dude, it better be.
No, for real though. Because
maybe
it
that's
makes
why
sense.
They made me go quick, like in the photo. Yeah. So no one could ask like is there a Scarlet Witch?
Oh yeah, because she's probably terrible at lying. She'd probably go like, no.
Someone did ask her recently. I saw this like in an interview or panel or whatever.
I think they asked her about what Agatha, right?
Like Agatha, but they asked her like, what would you want in a solo witch Scarlet in a solo witch in a Scarlet Witch solo movie?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I feel if I said what I want, it would spoil a lot of things. It would spoil something.
Oh, interesting.
And it'd be like,
she's a bad liar. That's funny. Yeah, but yeah, it makes sense, right?
No more mutants. No more mutants.
Especially with Kevin Feige saying they're very integral to post-Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So it's like,
no more mutants. No more mutants. Kill everybody. Okay. Kill everybody.
Your mantra.
And so get back the X-Men to kill them all, baby. Yeah.
It's going to happen one way or another, man. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Jean was the first person they killed off.
Jean!
Oh, it's been a minute since we've done that.
Imagine, what if it's a Jean, Scott, Scarlet Witch love triangle, baby?
Oh, that'd be weird.
Super weird. Super weird. Super. But you know Scott loves his redheads.
Yes, he does. So, she's currently fused with the Darkhold in the comics. So if that's the way that they're going with the MCU, there's a million different ways and then some that they could bring her back.
Oh, yeah.
And similarly, like Agatha in the comics as well, when she died, she was brought back and then in a similar but youthful appearance, Wanda could come back and then be reverted back to the more brunette version.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? Like, she could come back different but the same, you know what I mean?
Same, but different.
I believe it, yeah. And so the Darkhold's relevance in continuity is in part due to Agatha seeking to create a new Darkhold, utilizing chaos magic in the comics. So in this issue, I think it was Midnight Suns? Not Suns with an O, but Suns with a U. Agatha was trying to conjure up, she's like in this bubble trying to create a new Darkhold. Wanda and Captain Marvel come together to try and stop her, which is kind of crazy because you have to think, okay, Captain Marvel by herself is omnipotent.
Pretty,
right?
Yeah.
She can't be destroyed. Then you have Scarlet Witch also assisting. And both of them together couldn't take Agatha creating this Darkhold. But they eventually get through. They penetrate her protective spell. And then, once again, the power is so strong, it combusts. And Agatha is nowhere to be found. Carol picks up the book.
Oh, gosh.
I know. And unlike Multiverse of Madness, it doesn't affect her. It, like, she just drops it and she's like, okay.
She's like, I don't want that.
Yeah, exactly. And Wanda's like, okay, good. You're fine. And they don't know where Agatha went. But Agatha reemerges in another part of the world and she wakes up. She like washed up on a beach and there's a child that's looking over her. And she's like, oh, I have to find the Darkhold. You know, I have to find it. And then the little boy is like, are you all right? And she's like, oh, didn't your parents ever tell you not to talk to strangers, especially women that wash up on the beach?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because now that it's young Agatha, I hear it in Catherine Hahn's voice.
Got it.
And so the little boy is looking down at her. Ironically, he looks a little bit like Nicholas Scratch in the film, in the show. And he's like, oh, Agatha, it's okay. I'm not afraid of you or something. And she goes, how do you know my name? And he goes, because I'm your greatest creation. And she goes, what? And he starts levitating.
Oh, my gosh.
And he turns purple. And she has now created, in the comic books, she successfully created the Darkhold, but it's the child.
Wow.
So there is a human Darkhold running around in Marvel Comics right now.
So that child knows, yes, like all like the spells.
It's a living Darkhold, so it could do anything that the Darkhold does.
So if you kill that child,
yeah,
what happens? Like the dark, no more Darkhold. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because it's sentient. It almost feels sentient.
Yeah,
I have not read past.
Or
that
you
issue.
Just suck up the Darkhold power.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
sounds dangerous.
It sounds super dangerous. So yeah, so now there's this young boy, and he goes. His name is Darkhold.
We love that.
We love that. We'll see what happens, but we'll see if that even carries over, too.
Like, it's going to be Tommy in the MCU.
Ooh, wouldn't that be
that's
something?
A bold, that is a bold, wouldn't like, yeah. Yeah. Like, what if, like, Tommy got, like, this, okay, now I'm just stretching
just
around.
Spitballing.
Let's say they do, they know that Tommy's out there, right?
Yeah.
And let's say, like, they do it to her, like, Tommy's like, oh, I need to find my mom.
Yeah.
So, like, he goes and tries to find Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
And then that's one day. That's when they cross paths at Wonder Gore.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then, like, he dies with the Darkhold.
Ooh.
And then, unknowingly, he becomes a Darkhold. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
That's that'd be just, wild.
That's a stretch.
Ooh.
That's a big stretch.
Tommy Shepard. Wow. Well, yeah, that's one good theory. So, speaking of family, friends, and affiliations. So, this is when things start to get really interesting. Because we were introduced to so many colorful and wonderful characters in Agatha All Along. The first that we're going to discuss being Evanor Harkness. But although she appears in the comics, her Earth designation has not been officially identified, which means that there's technically no 616 Prime Earth Evanora. She's somewhere in the comic book ether. We don't know which version she is.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, both Evanora and her husband, aka Agatha's father, Hiram, both appeared once in House of Harkness, released earlier this year. So it was definitely planned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, for the show. Doesn't follow the show, but it was planned with it. And so there has otherwise been no other mention of Agatha's parents in comic book continuity. Because you got to remember, when she first came out, she was old as sin.
Yeah.
There's no need to talk about parents in this case. And so on the show, Evanora was portrayed by Laura Donney. And so she first appeared in WandaVision episode 8 and then last seen in Agatha All Along episode 5. And as we know, Evanora led Agatha's trial with the Coven in 1693. However, all of them perished at the hands of the witch. And then Evanora returned in her ghost form during the new Coven's trial on the Witch's Road, citing that Agatha was just born evil and
down, down, down the road, down the witch's road.
Oh, man. And I was right. They did release all the versions on vinyl. And so, yeah, Evanora was last seen cast away by the power of Alice Wu Gulliver. So, yeah, that's kind of wild. She kind of has a short-lived story. But, I mean, you know, she's there for what she's there for. But somebody a bit more important to Agatha's life is Nicholas Scratch, who does exist in the comics. And so sometime in the comics, Agatha takes refuge in a place called New Salem, Colorado. And so she had apparently, supposedly, presumably gotten married, and then she had a son. And so New Salem itself was founded by surviving witches from the original Salem witch trials of the 1690s in Massachusetts. And so they all took refuge, reemerged in this new version of their beloved city. And so Agatha, over time, chose to leave that commune of people. At this point, Nicholas was an adult. He's a full-fledged man.
Yeah.
And he essentially got very, he was very resentful that his mother decided to leave the witches, the coven, if you will. And so he gets so slighted and so jaded that from that point on, he despises his mother. And so he goes after her. He wants to go after her and essentially destroy her in the comics, which is kind of wild. And so this left, this whole thing left Nicholas leading the coven of New Salem, citing that Agatha betrayed them. And he wanted to execute her.
Jeez.
So, sounds familiar. It sounds like everybody that goes after Agatha is like, die, witch!
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And so we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but it's easily summarized that Nicholas, in the comics, has mommy issues. And at one point, when everything comes to a head, she's about to essentially punish him for trying to kill her. He's like, but I'm your son. And she's like, no. And then you just really get that it's, he's like, I'll never forgive you for abandoning the coven, for abandoning me. And it's like, oh, this is what this is about. It's like, okay. And so on the other side of the fence, there's Nicholas Nicky Scratch, portrayed by Abel Lysenko, first and last seen in the very last episode of Agatha All Along. And so he was a sweet, sweet child who never stood a chance, unfortunately. Again, you know, like in our review, I think it was a brilliant season finale, laid the groundwork for everything that came before it. And I don't know if you read this article with Jack Schaefer that came out pretty recently. I can't remember which outlet it was. Like, uh-huh. It must have been like Vanity Fair or something. And so Jack mentioned that Nicky's father is irrelevant to Agatha All Along.
Mm.
And his father in the comics was never confirmed either.
Oh.
So there's a floating idea of like who it could be, because back to the thing about Mr. Scratch and how it's the devil. And it's like, oh, okay. But
Mr. Sin. just throwing out random ass. Just throwing random names.
Mephisto?
No. Yeah. Or Mephisto. Or Mephisto. I mean, it could be anybody.
Yeah, it could be anybody. It quite literally could be anybody. But it doesn't seem to matter either way. So there's that. But yeah, so that's all that we got of Nicky Scratch, at least in MCU for now. I think he's one and done. I don't think they'll expand on that.
Because
again, in the comics, he's such a weird little mommy's boy that just can't get over it, that he doesn't need to be present in MCU. So yeah, I think we've seen the most that we'll ever see of that kid. As for the coven, first up, Jennifer Kale. So Jeff, this is an interesting one because this, if you would believe it, is Jennifer Kale in the comics.
She got that Wanda headpiece on.
You know what's funny that you say that? Because I was like, she kind of reminds me of Valkyrie. The blonde Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Jennifer Kale looks much different in the comics. But yeah, to your point, kind of like a blonde Scarlet Witch with a black and white suit.
It's like it's a mix of like that Scarlet Witch headpiece,
yeah.
Some Captain Marvel bodysuit type hero yeah. vibes.
Yeah. And so in the comics, Jennifer has a surprisingly dense backstory if you go into her history. And so surprisingly enough, her backstory does not intersect with Agatha.
Oh, wow.
At all. I mean, I don't want to say at all. I'm sure there's some crossover. No notable history between the two. And so Jennifer, you know, although she was indeed a practitioner of magic, she's obviously a witch, her origins actually started in the Man-Thing universe. So you remember the big green guy from Werewolf by Night?
Yeah.
Oh, that yeah. guy.
Oh, wow.
She's in his universe, his spectrum of storyline. And so Jennifer in the comics also seems to be a part of a larger magical sector of the Marvel Universe, which makes sense if she's not in Agatha's, you know, periphery. The fact that she would be a witch in the bigger magic world makes total sense to me. And so she dabbles among the other offbeat occult characters as well. And so Man-Thing is just the tip of the iceberg. And so she's she's in a number of different stories. She's just not with Agatha. So it's very interesting that they pulled her in, but I guess it makes her compelling and it could lead to other things because there is talk that they want to use Jennifer in other stories. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool.
I mean, she's also the, she's the only other witch that's
she
alive.
She's the only one that survived from the real coven.
And she got her powers back. She's not binded anymore.
Correct. In the MCU, of course, she's portrayed by Shazeer Zamata. And so, first and last scene in Agatha All Along. In the MCU, of course, she's a witch turned into a beauty influencer and guru with her company Kale Care. And often regarded as a potion curator of the group. Which I think is pretty cool. Like, the way that they, like, mirrored their talent, so to speak.
Yeah.
Magical talent with something in real life is really neat. Her story is essentially that she had been bound for over a century, unable to use her powers, but she believed it to be a doctor in the 1920s that had bound her, but it ended up being Agatha all along.
Agatha all along.
And then, like Jeff said, she was the only survivor of the coven's inner circle at the end of the games. And so, yeah, she flew off into the sunset.
Literally
repowered,
literally,
and out of Westview to where we know not, but maybe we'll find out one day. Then next up in the coven, Alice Wu Gulliver, aka the Wu in the comics. that's her name, the Wu.
That's pretty hard. I can't lie.
It's pretty hard. And so, for your reference, this is what Alice Wu Gulliver looks like in the comics. She's a gun wielding PI police officer looking type.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she was a mall cop.
She was a mall cop in Agatha All Along. And so Alice in the comics also came from a magical background as the daughter of August Wu, a magical guardian in Hong Kong. And so August aspired to accompany the likes of Doctor Strange.
Nice.
See? Yeah, they're pulling them all in. However, August met her end pursuing a demonic entity along the way. So it's
of course.
Yeah, it's like August is like a sorcerer supreme, not supreme, but she's a sorcerer protector of Hong Kong. And so along the way, Doctor Strange is fighting Dormammu. He finds himself in that territory.
These crossovers are crazy.
It's a nuts crossover. And so August helps Doctor Strange, not with Dormammu, but with other entities. And so this inspired August to be like, okay, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
Let me go continue this. Unfortunately, meets her end with another entity. And so, funny enough, Alice's father was also in security.
That's hilarious.
So, as Detective Sergeant Adam Gulliver. And so both of her parents have come together very similarly to the ones in the MCU, of course, portrayed by Ali An. So August was renamed and reworked as Lorna Wu in the MCU, nothing shy of a literal rock star. So that's a little different, but she was still a witch.
Yeah.
Which is essentially the same as the comics. And so Alice, however, became a failed police officer, protected by a magical tattoo encouraged by her mother. And so they don't talk about her dad, I think, at all. But it's funny that the homage of the comic book father is that she's a mall cop.
That's hilarious, yeah.
And so, you know, in Agatha All Along, Alice broke the curse in episode 4 with her mother's rendition of the ballad that Jeffrey was just singing, only to die by Agatha's hand in the next episode.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so crazy. Yeah, after banishing Evanora. But she was featured again in episode 8, proceeding through Death's Door. Do you think we'll see her again?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
I think she's done.
Yeah. Unforged, but...
Yeah.
You know?
Good send-off. I'm glad that they didn't leave it at episode 5.
Yeah.
That was it. Like they actually gave her a, like, okay, this is her when she was living state, but she's moving on into the light, so to speak.
Yeah. Through then, Death's Door.
Through Death's Door. And then that leaves us with Lilia Calderu, who... This one's kind of wild. This is Lilia in the comics.
Jeez. Scandy for Scandy. No reason.
This is Scandy Candy. And so she's, we don't use this terminology much anymore at all, but she is very gypsy-like in her appearance. She's got like a headdress of a trio of snakes, and she's got gold ornate intricate little baubles on her bodice, and she's overflowing. Her cup is spilling over.
Oh my gosh.
As far as her appearance goes. However, Lilia has a handful of interesting talking points in the comics. One being that she's a descendant of the sorcerer once known as Cagliostro. Cagliostro? Does that sound familiar?
Cagliostro, yes.
Originator of Il Libro di Cagliostro. A.K.A. the Book of Cagliostro. The very spell book.
Yes.
Doctor Strange and Caselius used to learn to control time with the Time Stone.
Wow.
So Lilia. So imagine this little tree. Cagliostro. Lilia. Direct descendant of Cagliostro. Okay?
Oh my God.
The family tree doesn't stop there. Her mother was Lilia Morgu, daughter of Mjarka and Nikolai Mordo.
Oh, gosh.
Which means, yes, Lilia Calderu and Carl Modo are related. So this is Baron Mordo.
Yes.
From Doctor Strange, the films. We're talking Chiwetel Ejiofor is related to Patty LuPone.
That's
in the MCU.
Congratulations, Benedict Cumberbatch. You are back in the MCU.
like this is all brewing under Doctor Strange. It's all brewing under Doctor Strange, which, of course, inevitably folds out into Wanda. So they're related. He is her half uncle. So if, which is funny, because he has not really been anywhere since Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even Prime Mordo. So
it was not.
We've not seen the one that was gonna ruin everything since Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah.
So whether or not he will pop up somewhere, or Doctor Strange 1, right? At the end credits, I guess.
It is Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Is it? What movie?
It won. Yeah, yeah. Because Multiverse of Madness is the second.
Yeah, and then he goes after that one guy.
No, yes. He takes away his
Powers. Power,
pretty much.
Yeah, so we have not seen that version of that character since the first film. And so there's room for him to come back, perhaps. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, so they're related. Half uncle. And so unlike the other coven members, Lilia has some crossover with Wanda in the books, having foretold of her power manifestation in the very beginning. So, again, they're all over the board. There's so many opportunities for them to link up in the MCU, depending on which storyline they choose to take. But for now, there's Lilia Calderu, portrayed by Patty LuPone in the MCU, first and last seen in Agatha All Along. And she's regarded as the divination and clairvoyant of the coven, capable of seeing flickers of the past and present. She became a psychic and palm reader by the name of Madame Calderu.
Scared me for a second, man.
And she foretold her own fate all throughout the series, ultimately sacrificing herself to ensure the death of the Seven. Again, beautiful episode, beautiful ending for that character. Couldn't have been better. And yeah, the way that they edited and pulled together her story was very clever and very, very genius, really.
I agree.
And before we move on to love interests, an honorable mention to Mrs. Hart, a.k.a. Sharon Davis.
RIP.
Portrayed by Deborah Jo Rupp, who, as you can imagine, has no comic book counterpart.
She wasn't supposed to be there, man.
I know. So sad. Mrs. Hart, forever in our hearts. Speaking of hearts, love interest.
Oh yeah.
So there's only one.
Sick. I'm in.
And it's the one that we all want to talk about, and that's Rio Vidal. And so, first and foremost, shock. Rio has no comic book counterpart. There is a character, however, named Vera Vidal from the Iron Fist universe.
Jeez.
Unrelated. But the MCU's Rio is instead, and indeed, an amalgamation of various characters from comic book canon, ranging from witches to the demonic, such as Death.
Oh, yeah.
So we won't dive into Death's backstory too much than we already have, because we are absolutely going to discuss Death separately. But in the comics, Death is very much a personification of the entity itself and identified as a cosmic being that is near omnipotent. So try not to act surprised, but Death and Agatha have zero crossover in the comics.
Wow.
Which may be inevitable, which may inevitably be what makes the MCU version so much more compelling.
Because
it's super new. Again, there is no Thanos. The Deadpool thing is dicey. I don't know if it's going to happen. But it's something new and it works out because those two have chemistry off the charts.
Agreed.
And so, of course, Rio Vidal, a.k.a. Death, portrayed by the one and only Aubrey Plaza.
Killed it.
Beat it to death. First and last scene in Agatha All Along. And lest we forget, she also portrayed the Shadow King once upon a time in Legion the series, but it's super complicated. Jeff hasn't seen it. But she killed it there too, actually.
She was great. I believe it.
And I think it very much made it obvious that she'd be good at this character.
Yeah.
Because she played a demented character before.
Got it.
And so now she's Death. So that's great. So again, love this character. As for Death and Rio in the show, they emerged as the Green Witch, which in general terms refers to a witch that works with the elements, local land spirits, and particularly anything green, natural resources, and wildlife. So she's supposed to be this sort of like Mother Earthy type.
Yeah.
But instead she's
Death.
Yes, it's really interesting. And of course it is later revealed to be so. And so I refer to her as Death. Other people have referred to her as Lady Death. Lady Death in comics is a different character and a different umbrella of comics.
Yeah.
It's a separate entity entirely, but she's Death. And she's undeniably Agatha's lover. Shall we talk about Death's presence in the show at all?
Does she ever like die in the comics, or she's just death.
She's already dead. Yeah, she's already that entity.
It's such like an interesting thing to play with in live action, because it's like, how do you even? You can probably tell like one like long story with her, and that would probably be like the Deadpool death story where Deadpool wants to die, and she just tasks him to do this and like that's her story.
Yeah.
But I think it'd also be cool if like whenever someone does die, anyone major dies.
Especially from now on.
Yeah. If anyone major dies in the MCU, it'd be like crazy where it's just like a after credits or mid credits scene where it's just Aubrey Plaza coming in and be like, you ready?
And then that's it.
Yeah. And that's just like most end credits or post credits mid credit scene.
That'd be crazy. It'd be so dope.
Because it doesn't pertain to the story at all.
Yeah.
It's just like Death's just coming and be like, are you ready?
Yep.
Yeah. So when Aubrey Plaza meets Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, but I would be down for that. That would be a payoff.
Yeah.
That'd be a perfect payoff. And it said she need not say nothing. Yeah. Like she didn't when she saw Nicholas Scratch. All she had to do was
same thing with Alice.
Yeah.
It's like, "Hey, you ready?" And then she's like, "No, I'm not." But then she gives like the reason why.
Yeah.
And it's like, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be cool.
That'd be so cool. Oh my gosh, it'd be great. Yeah. Want to see more of her? I'm pretty sure we'll see more of her, and we're gonna talk about her.
Yeah,
maybe even before we see her again, we'll see. And so that leaves us with notable adversaries. Again, didn't want to dive into anything that was not.
Yeah, because everyone hates her. So
there's also that factor. She's literally hated by everybody in some capacity, which is very funny because it's like. In the comics, again, she comes off as this very beloved character. They love her. You know what I mean?
That's what she did in the last episode of the season.
I know. It's so wild to me how they've kind of transfixed her into this almost hateable person in the MCU. But they all still love her. So I'm like, yeah, it seems pretty close if you ask me. But in the comics, Agatha does indeed have a Salem 7. And so this crew originated from New Salem, Colorado, in the new settlement. And they're comprised of Sons, Brutakis, Hydron, Thorn, Vacuum, and daughters Gazelle, Reptilla, and Vertigo, the eldest and the leader. And these are the children of Nicholas Scratch.
Oh my gosh.
In the comics. Making them Agatha's grandchildren.
The seven are
his children in the comics. And so in the comics, this is what they look like, Jeff. Yeah, very different. They took it quite literally. Because you know how they're all named after, like...
Yes.
Things, right?
Yes.
Vacuum, but it's spelled like edgelordy.
Imagine, so it's like you're part of like the coolest group of people. Your name is Vacuum.
And you're the Vacuum, yeah. I think
is Vacuum. Is that a snake?
Yeah, that's Reptilla.
Reptilla, that's right.
And so this is Vertigo, the only normal one. And so Vertigo is...
Why does she get like headaches all the time? Sorry.
She makes she creates headaches and makes people nauseous. It's very interesting because in one of the primary issues of Avengers, Wanda and Vision go up against the Salem Seven, and the Salem Seven in the comics were so powerful that even Wanda and Vision couldn't take them on together. And so,
gosh.
And so Viz essentially plays possum, and he's like, "Oh no, I'm so drained," and he just like lays down.
He's like, "I go sleep right now. I sleep right here."
And so they're like in a little wooden cage with runes on it, so that she can't conjure anything. So she's powerless, and she's like, "Oh no, Viz is dying," and she has this entire monologue about how she's like, she never thought that she could be a witch until him, and how she knew love and only until him, and how Agatha taught her to use her powers, but now she can't. And it's like this huge, it's like three pages long.
I feel like I'm just like hearing it in Lizzie's voice, and I'm like, oh, I believe it.
Yeah, she's like, Viz. Vision. Oh my god, are you gonna make me pull it up? I'm gonna pull it up.
And Biz.
In my best Lizzie Olsen voice. Oh, I'm doomed. I'm gonna talk like Lizzie for the rest of the weekend if this happens.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, hold on, let me pull it up.
What is grief if not love persevering?
Yep.
This. It's so funny.
I think I have it.
Ugh. Lay it on us, Di.
Let's see. Is this it?
There's no. It's three pages. Is that what you said?
I swear to God, it's like three pages long.
Three. I can't even read a page. I'm literally illiterate.
Sure. And it's so funny because the issue looks so unassuming on the cover.
Yeah.
They're like in front of a. They're essentially the context of the situation is that Wanda has embraced that she is in love with Vision.
Yeah.
And he is a toaster. And so she's thinking of marriage and having children.
Sure.
And so when she believes that he is dying, she's realizing the depth of their meaning together. So she's again, this three-page dialogue. And so she's just like...
Give me one bubble, Die.
All right, here we go. Let me find a good one. Okay. Viz, I know it was hard accepting. You always told others, and even me, that as a coldly logical being, you never thought twice about it. But I knew better. I knew you. And I never really minded that you called me Curly when we were alone. I can do better. But that's like...
That's so good.
And it's literally...
Damn, that's pretty accurate. Like,
I think if I kept going, I could probably really, really do it.
Lock in.
I gotta lock in. Yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, it's this issue that makes her want to conjure the children.
Got it.
And from here on, it catapults into that whole Mephisto business and Agatha and all that. So yes, they were captured by the Seven, and so it is very strange that they are Nicholas Scratch's children.
So Agatha's comics. Grandchildren.
So they're her grandchildren. Yeah, and so it was really a family affair, which is why I could see why they're trying to just get rid of the Nicholas Scratch story, get it done with in the MCU so that there's no anticipation unless Death decides to pull a big one on her and brings him back and puts him in an adult body.
So Death can also bring people back. Oh.
I don't know if they change it. I mean, but that would be the Green Witch element, because if she's kind of like a rejuvenating Mother Earthy type, maybe she can. I mean, but
yeah,
we don't know yet. But yeah. So as for the Seven, as humans, they have human forms. Don't get me wrong; they're not these weird animal-looking things all the time. But they appear to be just that when they're in human form. But they were capable of wielding magic and the ability to shapeshift into mystical mutated beings. So in the comics, they were often regarded as Agatha's arch enemies, who ruthlessly pursue her, all in the name of Nicholas Scratch. And so it just turns into this whole, like, I will be the new leader of the coven in New Salem. You know, and that's like Vertigo after Scratch is cast out into another dimension. She wants to become the new witch. And so when Wanda comes in and Viz, when they come in together, she wants to make sure that she's kept at bay, because they've essentially gotten the idea that Agatha has bestowed all of her promise into Wanda. So Wanda, if Agatha isn't around, Wanda is going to be the next most powerful witch, which isn't untrue. And so, yeah, so they kind of go after her, and that brings them all together in this weird, you know, family affair. And so the Salem Seven in the MCU, however, so it's interesting, they refer to them as Salem's Seven in the comics.
Uh-huh.
And then the Salem Seven, or the Seven in MCU. And so they are comprised very much different, more simplified names in the MCU. Vertigo being the only one that was consistent, aside from Snake, Crow, Fox, Rat, Owl, and Coyote, portrayed by Okwi Okpok-Wasili, Marina Mazzeppa, Bethany Curry, Athena Parample, Britta Grant, Alicia Villa-Bailey, and Chow Namova, respectively. And so, interestingly enough, the Seven in the MCU are the surviving children of Agatha's original coven, who later made their revengeful revival, and then they were later magnificently offed by Lilia. And so, yeah, they're still children, just not of Nicholas Scratch, which is kind of what it turns into, which is like, okay, I get it. And so I kept Wanda under adversaries in this episode, if only because the MCU version. Because they don't have the same relationship for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, WandaVision obviously gave us a multi-layered version of their relationship, and how Agnes and Wanda were really kind of chums. But in the comics, they definitely were more close. Again, her relationship to the Fantastic Four was so close, and Wanda was so close. Agatha was Wanda's mentor
in
the comics. And so that doesn't mean that they're not against each other. So that's why I have her under adversaries. And so Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, in the comics. We didn't discuss much about Wanda and Agatha at all in our Scarlet Witch episode, which I didn't realize. And it was because it's already coming in, my Lizzie voice is coming in, like, in our Scarlet Witch episode with our guest, Stephen Ray Morris.
I never seen Die or Scarlet Witch in the same room. So, guys, this could be the last pot.
By the way, that was 3 years ago.
When we did
our Scarlet Witch episode.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
And so I don't think we talked about it, because we had Stephen on. And so it was so It was like our own little brew of chaos.
Yeah, and we hadn't really known much.
No, we weren't. We were still kind of loosey-goosey with our episodes. Like, yeah. We didn't have our structure yet. And so I would really like to go back and again, like, revisit Wanda.
Wanda v. Agatha.
Wanda v. Agatha.
That's our next.
There we go. Yeah, so yeah, let's do a part two at some point. But Agatha's original intentions for Wanda were mostly pure. Mostly for her, because she was drawn to the energy and the power that was radiating off of the young Scarlet Witch in the comics. And so Agatha was so drawn in that she was like, you know what? I'm going to tutor this young witch and see what she's all about. Mm-hmm. Which was basically the same reason why she was drawn to Franklin, is that Franklin, he's very powerful. He ends up being like a mutant. And so he's very powerful and intelligent. And so he had an aura that Agatha was like, I'm drawn to this energy. I need to have it, not necessarily take it.
Yeah.
But I need to be around it because I want to know more. And so she had the same thing with Wanda. And so everything came to a head in the comics when Nicholas Scratch returned to seek revenge on his mother with the Salem Seven. And that's the story that we were just talking about. And Wanda's 3-page dialogue with Viz. And although Nicholas was banished to the Dark Realm, the Seven captured Agatha, and then they ended up successfully burning her at the stake in the comics. So
nice.
That's when she dies. She dies in the comics. And so it's then that Wanda took them on, and then the powers emanating from the battle were so strong that it destroyed the town. And so Wanda absorbed some of that energy into herself.
Of course.
And at the end of the issue, she's just like, oh, this power, where did it all come from? And she has I got to show you, because it's very much like, you remember when Beyonce did the performance and then she revealed that she was pregnant? Oh my God, same vibes.
She's holding Agatha?
Wanda is like holding her belly.
Oh.
Right here, look. And then she's like, just maybe.
Just maybe.
And so after the battle, she is now feeling, oh, I am...
Something's
pregnant.
Growing inside of me.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, from a human toaster. And so she has essentially conceived her children with the power at the end of that issue after her battle with the Seven. And so this, of course, leads to the eventual uprooting of their origin and then their ties to Mephisto and the Fingies as means of attempting to relieve Wanda. Agatha wiped her memory later on in continuity as a ghost. And then when Wanda learned of this, I guess she had come back. It's so weird. So she died at the stake, came back, wiped Wanda's mind. Wanda found out, then killed her in cold blood.
Jeez.
Yeah,
okay.
And that issue, that was 15 years later in continuity. So it's kind of a flashback. You see it because people are like wondering at one point, they're like, where did Agatha go? Mm-hmm. And this story is actually kind of crazy because they're literally looking for this woman. And then once again, back to Psycho. I forgot who it was. I don't know if it was Nick Fury or somebody. They finally realize, oh, we found Agatha. She's in this room or place, house. They go into the house, they open the door, and they just see. Have you seen Psycho?
It's been.
Yeah. So do you remember when they think, oh, they found the mom?
Yeah.
And she's in the basement in a chair.
Yes.
And then they turn the chair around and it's just a skeleton.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing that happened to Agatha. So Good Wanda Lordy, killed Lordy. Her and they found the body and she's nothing but bare bones. And they're like, how long has she been dead? And I think Nick or whoever it was like, a long time, because she'd killed her ages ago.
Oh my Lord.
And nobody knew where she was. And so anyway, again, it's a little complicated. It's a lot of back and forth, different authors, different decades. And so with the introduction of The Witch's Road in the comics in 2016, this is what I was talking about, Agatha and Wanda reconnected despite the death. And so she joined Wanda in her spirit form on the road as Wanda learned the truth about her birth mother, Natalia Maximoff. And so that's a whole other storyline. Again, won't get into it, but that's when the whole discourse of Magneto is not her father and all that started to unravel, because they wanted to separate them from that whole thing. Thanks to Fox and all the the rights issues that really complicated things for the comic book characters. But now all is well. But yeah, we won't get into that. Just not today. So Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, portrayed by Jeffrey's wifey, Elizabeth Olsen.
You're right.
First seen in 2014's Captain America and the Winter Soldier, Stinger. Then properly seen in 2015's Age of Ultron.
Wow, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
First appearance.
10 years. She's finally joined the group of 10 years, man.
Wow.
Last seen in 2022's Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
I hope she comes back before 2028, man.
I know. That'd be wild, actually.
We'll
see. And so Agatha portrayed Wanda's nosy neighbor, and again, with secret intentions of taking her power in the MCU. And it wasn't revealed until episode 7 of WandaVision that Agnes was Agatha and everything began to unfurl. And so Agatha foretold of the power and the corruption the Darkhold would have on Wanda, leaving her with the choice words, "You're going to need me." Like, think the line was like, "You have no idea what you've unleashed. You're going to need me." So I was like, ooh, foreshadowing. So is this what happens? Is that Ghost Agatha, like in the comics, is going to join Wanda somewhere?
Do.
And be like, "Let's fix the Darkhold."
I mean, yeah. I mean, she wanted the power of the Darkhold and the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Didn't get it. Got trapped.
Nope.
And then just wanted her powers back.
Yep.
Dies.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff's favorite concept.
Dies. Mm-hmm. Kill them all, baby.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But after the events of Multiverse of Madness, Wanda's body emerges in Westview. Or did it? Suggested.
Well, that means it's fake.
It was
fake.
All made up.
Yeah.
It was all just...
play along. They're all just playing along.
So crazy.
Yeah.
There was no body. There was no body, Jeffrey.
Did you see her face?
Were those her toes? did you ever see... I forgot which interview it was. I don't know who it was, but it was some actress. And they were talking... It was a group of actors talking about punch-ins, right? And how when certain close-ups happen,
yeah,
they're like, "That's not my hand." I wonder if Lizzie saw that episode and was like, "Those aren't my toes."
I'm sure. Because they definitely aren't.
That's not my ass. Like, you know, like, I just can't even. Oh, that's funny. But yeah, so the Scarlet Witch is no more. But is she?
If you don't see them die on screen, yeah, no. If there's no body.
100%. There's no body.
Yeah.
No death.
Unless your name is Aubrey Plaza. You know what I'm saying? What up, baby girl? Yay. Whenever I leave, come get me.
It's like what you said in that episode. Everybody's using the same caption now.
They're like, yeah, I mean, I yeah, if Aubrey Plaza was dead, yeah, I'd do anything.
Yeah, I understand Thanos now.
Like, I get why Thanos was like, yeah, what do you want? Oh, you want me to destroy the world? Yeah, whatever you want, baby.
Exactly. Infinity War. So, other versions and in other media. I was not going to mention anything from these subsections, but I realized that I had to mention Marvel Snap's Agatha. I haven't played Marvel Snap in a long time. I used to be very obsessed with it. But in the game, again, it's one of those, it's essentially a tabletop game, but it's digital. And so every card is synonymous to the character's powers. And so Agatha in Marvel Snap is actually horrible. She's an awful card. She's very powerful, but she takes control of your deck and she'll play the cards for you badly. You are going to lose if you pull the Agatha card. But damn. The reason why I bring this up at all is because in an IGN interview, the interviewer told Catherine Hahn, like, "Oh, did you know that Agatha is in this new game, Marvel Snap?" And she was so excited. She was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm in a game." And they were like, "Yeah, you're a card." And then he told her how bad it was. And you see how deflated she gets. And she's like, "Oh, well, that's not exciting." It's like really funny. But yeah, very cool. I mean, she's obviously so popular now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt that she pops up in Fortnite version and then probably Marvel Rivals, mm-hmm. which is coming out soon. And God knows, maybe they'll have a Midnight Suns like DLC pack with her in it. But yeah, she's getting there. I wouldn't be surprised if we see her in more games. But yeah, just had to mention Marvel Snap version. And so almost was. I could not find a darn thing. Because like you said, Jeff, it's kind of like now they kind of know who they want. And yeah. They just go after them.
Like right? It is what it is.
Yeah, but I did find a notation that Jack Schaefer shared that it all started with Catherine Hahn just having a general meeting with Marvel Studios. So she was scheduled to show up. This was before everything even went into play. And they found out, oh my gosh, Catherine Hahn is coming to set. Oh my God, she's coming here. What can we do? And so Jack Schaefer very tactfully was like, hey, can we have like a few minutes with you? And they pitched her WandaVision, and she was like, I'm interested. And Jack was like, okay. And it was just kind of like, from
I guess we
on.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they brought her in again for subsequent like interviews and discussions. And I'm sure they had a test, and then she was cast. Almost as simple as that. So it was just about, oh, you get Catherine Hahn on your studio backlot, you gotta get her in and get her to do something. And
yeah.
It all worked out. Rest was history. So the future of the character in the MCU. Jeff, what do you think?
I mean, well, she's dead.
Yeah, we kind of set it up top. It's like, well, she's dead. She's a spirit now. So it's
I mean,
like, oh,
she's
yeah.
still a spirit. I mean, but it just feels like, I don't feel like she'll pop up in a movie. I mean, Marvel, prove me wrong if you're wrong, but yeah. Season 2,
yeah,
obviously it's going to be her and Billy
yeah.
type thing.
Do you think a Season 2 will happen before a Doctor Strange 3? Because we have Clea. Don't forget, we have Clea in the mix now.
Oh, that's right. That is
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron.
Love.
Yeah.
Love Clea. So. Okay. We have another witch.
Unless they're putting these ingredients in a pot of magic. A cauldron of magic. Witches, magic, sorcerers.
Yeah.
And then they're just gonna deploy them.
Mm-hmm.
Bang, bang, bada boom.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I just feel like everything up until 2026 is pretty like set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we have things ready to come out, obviously, next year.
Mm-hmm.
2026, they're moving towards things.
Spider-Man 4.
Exactly.
Starts filming next year.
Summer of next year, so yes. Yeah. So it's like now what do you prioritize? Like, we still haven't seen a Shang-Chi 2. You know what I mean?
Overdue, but he is coming back.
And then on top of that, you have Avengers movies you have to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, the Secret Wars, mm-hmm. the Doomsday, Robert Downey Jr.
Or is it?
So like you have all these things. So it's like, okay, now you really have to map this out. But also like,
yeah,
you still have these characters we've only seen once, maybe.
Yeah, I want more Clea. Definitely want more Clea.
Yeah, like bring more mystical, magical. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like they went through that. The WandaVision, Doctor Strange, like the Agatha, like all right, cool. We did the magic. Now we're in like our X-Men, you know, first family.
But lest we forget, they are doing a Vision series, and then Wonder Man.
Was that
Man,
called Vision?
Vision.
Is it called Vision?
It's just called Vision.
I thought it was Vision Quest or something like that.
Oh, originally it was Vision Quest.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But I think because of trademarking or maybe...
Oh, just Vision?
Because Vision Quest is
so
also...
So you have that still in development. And, you know, and Blade
Wonder Man,
is still in development.
But I don't know if they're going to tie in Wonder Man like they might have.
Honestly, I don't even... like. I feel like Wonder Man is on its own thing. And
me
like
too.
Who knows where it could tie into. Yeah. But let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down. I'm down for anything as long as just like good... things coming to the screen now.
Exactly.
And like I said it, like I've said this a lot of times too in the recent like minis and even Deadpool Wolverine. It's like I feel like this Deadpool Wolverine was like a hard reset,
mm-hmm.
a soft reset, you know, for the MCU moving forward, since, you know, a lot of the things that we've seen before like were affected by strikes, the mm-hmm. pandemic.
Yep.
Do what you can, but mm-hmm. you also need to get these things. Yeah, so it's like I still loved all of them, but also you know, they were made under trying like times. So
exactly.
So it's just now it's like, okay, cool. We got this out, you know, Deadpool Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Now they had the Fox IP. So now it's like, all right, cool. What can we do? Here we go. Let's set this. We got Daredevil coming back. You got all these things happening. So next year is going to be really, really, really fun.
Yeah.
Was it? They said like two movies a year, three shows.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Pretty much like you're good through like all of the each quarter, four quarters of the year.
Yeah.
You have a movie come out and then a show. It's like a show, movie, show, movie, show.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that for sure.
Like movie, was it? Would it be like movie in the winter and then movie in the summer?
Yeah.
And then show like, so it's like a, because when does Captain America, February, right?
February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like January into February, show, movie in February.
It's like Captain America, then the next month it's Daredevil. And then 2 months after that, it's Thunderbolts.
In July.
2 months after that, it's Fantastic Four. And then 2 months
Next year is three movies and two shows.
Yeah. But then it flips.
Wait, Wonder Man 2, no?
And then Wonder Man in December.
So four?
I think it's after this next year. I think it's 2026 on.
Okay, they might have... they pushed something. Okay, sure.
Yeah. Well, Captain America is supposed to be... November, December. I think it was supposed to be now.
Yeah.
It's been pushed a lot. Let's just say that much.
We're eating next year.
Hell yeah. We're always eating. We're always eating.
Nom, 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 nom. Oh my God.
But yes, I hope we see more Agatha.
Yes.
Who knows when, but she is far from done. I can say that much.
Yes.
So suggested reading. I did not craft this out nearly as much as I would have loved to, but I'm going to suggest anything classic Avengers or Fantastic Four. She is all over those old books, man.
That's crazy.
Just got to chase her down. Aside that, Midnight Suns 2022 run particularly. This is the one with the Darkhold and the whole thing with Karina and it's some nutso cuckoo stuff, but it's pretty good. And then 2015's run of Scarlet Witch, a.k.a. Volume 2, by James Robinson and a slew of excellent artists. Great series for the characters, with covers by David Aja, one of my faves. And last but not least, Fantastic Four number 94. If nothing more, read that one. It's pretty good. It's the origin story. Learn all about Agatha. And with all that said, that is the end of the show. Thanks for listening. Next episode, Jeffrey has spoken. We're going to deviate from our previously approved episode to the one and only.
Yes. Sorry, that was the simp in me. I folded.
Ooh, Death or Scarlet Witch?
Scarlet Witch. Okay. But I was just like, but it's Aubrey Plaza. I love Aubrey Plaza.
Has she entered the realm of wifey status? Because I know that trio is pretty tough to crack.
It is. I would need to see more.
Ah.
More. Just a little bit more. I need to see what she's able to do. Like, just in a deathly sense, you know?
Why don't you want me?
Like, I need to see some manipulation. So like,
it's just so great. Oh, Aubrey. And so, yes, we'll be discussing death. All things death.
Woo!
In our next episode. So join us 2 weeks from now. And finally, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and a special We Are Groot salute to Robin, Edgar, Ed, Laura, Nats, Jenny, Andrew, Sherry, Katie, Joe, Liz, Ashley, Chris, Andrea, Ariel, Tyler, and Melanie. Follow us on social at STRK Sierra. Damn.
Nice.
Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. We just joined Blue Sky. If you're over there, we're on there, but we're probably going to use Threads more either way. Whatever. If you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe. And with all that said,
once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
You know it. We can't fight death. Should be me.
No.
You're not that.
Neither are you.
You're the only one who thinks so.